So you may have gotten a little pop-up. It's a new Zoom feature just kind of to protect people's privacy. The only thing being recorded will be my video. You know, just continue to stay with us and join us for now, the worship through the word of God. Last week, we talked about church unity through a devotion of prayer. And today, as we continue in the book of Acts, we're going to see that along with a devotion to prayer, we see the early church and the followers of Jesus and their devotion to scripture. Now, I think this is a topic, especially in today's climate, where a lot of the world still likes to kind of profess a multitude of truths, if you will. A plurality of truths. We know that as believers, there is only one truth. And for the church, for those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we must remember that the authority lies in the scripture that God has given to us through his word, through his good and perfect word. And so my hope and prayer as we talk now together today and go into this passage, that what will come out to us is the need to be in scripture, a desire to be in scripture, but also a reverence for scripture, that it's not just a book that we pick up and read for encouragement, but this is the very word of God. And I pray that we won't be swayed by worldly agendas or by politics, or even our own proclivities or our own thinking or our own agendas, perhaps, but that we would be rooted and devoted to scripture together as a church. So let's go ahead and get into this word. We're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, and this is the word of God. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry." Verse 18, "Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it. And let another take his office.'" Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you again for your word. When we say we are thankful for your word, I pray that truly in our hearts, we would just be so in awe of your goodness that you gave to us the scripture. And especially those of us here in the United States of America, that we have the freedom to pick up that word, to pick up your word, your grace given to us. And then we can read through it and flip through the pages that have the words, your words, that give hope and peace that this world cannot offer, salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. So God, I pray that as we go through your word together today, give us that sense of just, again, reverence for your word, but give us a hunger as your people to be devoted to scripture, to make time for it in our lives, not just to say that we've done it, not just to say that because we do that, we're good Christians. No, but because we know that there is a connection when we are devoted to you, then we are devoted to prayer. We are devoted to scripture because those are two vehicles that you have given to us to know more of who you are, and to teach us more about ourselves as well. And so we thank you, pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. So there's two points that I'm gonna go over together today. The first is one of the most important things that we could ever know, learn, and hold to, is that scripture, all of it, is God's word. And secondly, that scripture cautions us, okay? Scripture cautions us. So we're gonna start with that first point that scripture is God's word. Now, if I'm going to tell you to be devoted to something, there had better be a very good reason. Devoting yourself to something means you're giving yourself time, energy, resources so that you can give it to that thing, right? So what is that thing that we are saying that we need to be devoted to? We're talking about a devotion to scripture. So last week we talked about a devotion to prayer, and we learned that devotion to prayer actually means devotion to Jesus. And in the same way, if you have devotion to Jesus, then you also will have and must have a devotion to his word. And devotion to God's word is supposed to be in a way where we are devoted with our whole lives, our whole hearts. And so we're going to dive into this word together today, again, about why we ought to be devoted to scripture as believers of Jesus, but also as a church. Now, I hope that you have remember that I have said this so many times across so many different sermons, that scripture, the Bible in its entirety, from Genesis to Revelation, is in fact God's word, right? That's the whole point of this first point. Scripture is God's word. Not just the parts that please us, not just the parts that we can try to pick out that will let us continue to live our lives however we want, not just the parts that support our agenda or that can be twisted to mean something that it doesn't mean out of context, not just the ones that we're comfortable with, but all of it from Genesis to Revelation is in fact God's word. It doesn't change with the times. It is not antiquated writings that need to get with the times. It's not a book that needs to become progressive to follow along with today's culture as it pushes its agenda. No, the word of God stands the test of time. And as Christians, those who follow Jesus, we must be devoted to this scripture. Not because it is a book of do's and don'ts, but again, because it shows the love, the character, the who God is as he reveals it to us. And we need to be grounded in something that lasts. Imagine being devoted with your whole life to something that changes with the times. No, we have a God who is the same from before he created the world and the universe to now with all of us here together today. He's the same God, past, present, future, from the beginning of time. And so too, his word can withstand the test of time. Who he is in his character does not change because society changes. Who God is, his word does not need to be altered or changed because it doesn't fit the narrative or the agendas of this world. And so if we are devoted to the Bible, the word of God, then it means that we must have a proper reverence for it. As a church, we believe, we must believe and have faith that God, who gives to us his word, again, has preserved it in human history, from Old Testament to New Testament, without error, so that we as believers now have clear guidelines and truth that does not change, one truth that we can live our lives according to. Now, I have to make this very clear. There are some churches that may say things like, well, yes, the word of God has no error, but the Bible was written by people, and therefore it may contain some errors depending on who wrote the book. Now, when we start going down that road, what happens? You see, the authority, the foundation begins to crumble. It's open season on the authority of Scripture. There can be no solid foundation if you are teaching people or believing that the Bible has some kind of errors in it. No, we believe that God, who loves us and is gracious, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has given to us every word from in the beginning to amen. The perfect word that he has for us, for the world, so that they would know who he is. God himself inspiring every single word written in order that he would communicate clearly to us what is our purpose, what is his heart for us as humanity. And so through many, yes, imperfect authors, ultimately one perfect author, one perfect soul author, God himself, working through them to give us his word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Let's look at what it says. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped with every good work. What does it say? All scripture breathed out by God. All scripture, not some scripture, not the parts of scripture that we're comfortable with. No, all scripture is breathed out by God. Do you believe that? When you read the pages, do you truly believe that? Do you read with this in mind? My goodness, that God breathed out these words. Read it in such a way that you don't lose a sense of awe in what you're reading. The very words of God. Devote yourself to it. Know that it is the truth of God. When doubt creeps in, go to God, ask him to remind you of who he is, and then get back into the word and see what he has for you. See what he has for us together as a church. See the purpose that he gives to us to take his love, to take his message, to take his gospel, and take it to the ends of the earth. Remember, that's where we're at, right? In Acts chapter 1, we're seeing people, his followers, given a purpose to take the name of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And now here, there's something going on. There's this church that is forming, the followers of Christ. And so we see this devotion to the word. We're going to look at that right now in Acts chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. This is what it said. It said, in those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. Now let's stop there again. Do you see the words that he speaks? He stands up and he says, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas. You see, there is a connection, a reminder. Remember, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we just sang about it, but the Holy Spirit inspires, the Holy Spirit speaks through, God speaks through the pages of Scripture. Now, there isn't any verse in this passage that says specifically, and so they devoted themselves to the Word of God, but it's plainly able to be seen and drawn out from this portion of the passage. We see Peter standing up and he speaks about things that had to have taken place. Why? Because it was in Scripture. Scripture, God's word, must be fulfilled. If there's any part of Scripture that remains unfulfilled, then we know that it is all a lie. It's a sham. But everything that has been prophesied, everything that has been given forth by God through his word has been fulfilled. And all the promises we hold to now, including the return of Jesus Christ, the salvation by grace through faith, all of that is fulfilled by God. Why? Because his word tells us So we see him standing up and speaking on things that have taken place. He talks about Judas Iscariot. how he betrayed Jesus and then ultimately took his own life. And he reminds us that even these things are in God's control, in his hand. That the word of God is saying these things needed to take place. Now, if we look at a couple of different verses in Psalm, this is what it's talking about here. In Psalm 69, 25 and Psalm 109, verse 8. So here's Psalm 69, 25. May there camp be a desolation, let no one dwell in their tents. And then Psalm 109, verse 8 that says, may his days be few, may another take his office. We see these two parts of the Psalms now is what they use in verse 20 of our passage where it says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, may his camp become desolate and let there be no one to dwell in it and let another take his office. So what they're doing is they're seeing scripture, they're seeing within the Psalms, the Holy Spirit breathing out what must be fulfilled. And this is talking about Judas Iscariot. So again, it does not say they all devoted themselves to scripture, but we see the devotion of scripture in Peter's life, that he's able to stand among the brothers, that he's able to talk about scripture and even quote scripture in order to share the purpose and the love of God. And this authority of scripture, this trust and faith in God that he has provided for us, his word, is going to unite the church. Because there's authority, there's something clear that we are standing on together. So we have to learn to get into this word, this very good word, this very good and perfect word of God. Devote yourself to the word of God. Don't be so, you know, holding the Bible in reverence that it stays on your bookshelf gathering dust. God does not want to be far from you. When we revere God, he does not want us to say, God, you're so holy, you're so far away. No, remember, he came himself into the world through Jesus Christ, the Son. And now he's given to us his word, breathed out, Genesis to Revelation, the word of God. What an awesome thing. He gives us himself. Let's get into the word of God together. When we truly believe that scripture is God's word, not just because we're saying it or it sounds nice, but truly we believe that when we read the Bible, I promise you're going to have a new outlook. Even in your life, you're going to learn how to look through it, the scriptural lens. When you have conflict, when you have things that are going on that you don't understand why they're happening, you learn to look at it through the Bible and say, oh, this is the character of God. That's what it means for this situation, what he may be teaching me, trying to show me to work through. So look into God's word before any other word, even the word of your closest confidant or your best friend. God's word is what we as the church are devoted to, not the sweet words of this world, not the people who will just tell us what we want to hear. And when we look at the Bible, let's not make it into something that, well, okay, we call it God's word, but we make it our word in the sense that we try to use different parts of the passage to live however we want to live. That is not what God has for us. The scripture is God's word. Let's study it. And what we're going to talk about now, let's live it out. Point number two is this, that scripture cautions us. Scripture cautions us. Now we're going to look at verses 17 through 19 together. This is talking about Judas Iscariot. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. Now, there's something to be said that if scripture is truly the word of God, then yes, as we've been saying, have reverence for it. And we have to acknowledge that there is a consequential aspect of reading the scripture. Because scripture is the word of God, it directs us on life. And not just in this life, but eternal life. So there are consequences to when we read scripture, whether we obey or not, whether we know the God who has given to us the word or not, there are consequences. If you do not trust in God's word, or if you choose not to obey it, there are consequences that are not merely physical. We're talking about physical death here. But we know also that there is a spiritual consequence for those who do not believe in the word of God, that don't have faith in the God who gave to us that word, do not have faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I believe that this passage, when we look at verses 17 through 19, is God cautioning us through scripture. It's a warning, a word of caution from God. Now, just to be very quick, you may be wondering, well, Judas Iscariot, didn't he hang himself? Like, why is this saying that he kind of exploded, right? That he burst open? And some people will say, well, yeah, that's what Matthew 27:5 says, that he ultimately took his own life by hanging, right there. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and he went and hanged himself. So some people are saying, well, if this is talking about Judas Iscariot and how his life came to an end, isn't this, hey, Pastor Jeff, isn't this an example of error that you were just talking about? There's no error in the recording of scripture in the Bible. Well, yes, there is no contradiction here. If anything, Luke is describing in greater detail how violently Judas' life came to an end when he hanged himself. And one thing that historians will say is, if he had hanged himself somewhere on a steep cliff or something of that sort, that the longer that the body stays hanging, sorry, I don't mean to be too graphic, but the longer that that body stays there, what happens? Your body begins to heat up. And naturally, the insides, the gases, the different things build. And if ultimately, as it got bigger, it falls to the ground, it would burst. And in the same way that it's described here, all his bowels gushed out. But the key thing here is to share the consequences of not following Jesus truly with your heart, not knowing God and following God truly in a way that is devoted to who he is. It's a strong word of caution not to betray or to go against God, and instead to have a genuine relationship with him. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus. Now, this is why even more so it's a word of caution, because it explains to us in the verses that we read that he had a part, a share in the ministry of Jesus. It says Judas, who was numbered among them, right? Judas was a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, he wasn't out and about where someone could see him and say, okay, well, that one, that guy, something's wrong with him, okay? He was actually numbered with the disciples, one of the original 12. You see, Judas Iscariot followed Jesus in his ministry. He had seen all the amazing things. He had physically followed Jesus, even broken bread with him, even had his feet washed by him, even heard the truth that Jesus was speaking forth as the word of God himself. And yet, spiritually in his heart, he did not follow Jesus. Now, let me tell you why that is such a word of caution. You can physically, outwardly, behaviorally be following God in the sense that you're trying to live a good life and you're trying to stay away from evil things. But if you do not follow Jesus Christ in your heart, if you do not know him as your Lord and Savior, your end is still one of spiritual death. Evangelist Billy Sunday has a famous quote that maybe some of us have heard before. It says, going to a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you an automobile. Going to a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you an automobile. Now, you might think about this, that sounds absurd, but it's so simple, isn't it? I want us to think about this quote for a moment. How many people say, I follow Jesus, but all they mean actually is, I go to church on Sundays. I do good things. I'm a moral person. I stay away from bad things. I do Christian things. Hey, I read the Bible. Hey, I bow my head to pray before meals. If those are the only things that you can point to, these outward things of things that you are doing, I've got news for you. You better check your heart. You better see if you have an actual relationship with Jesus, or if you have been following Jesus in the way that Judas was following Jesus. Billy Sunday's quote captures in the most extreme way Judas Iscariot's life. On the outside, you would have thought him to be a devout follower, a true follower, and yet what was revealed was betrayal and the taking of his own life, the opposite of a true follower of Jesus. So let this be a caution to us in the church. Make sure you know Jesus. Scripture cautions us because it's a temptation that we have to look at our own works, to look at what we have gotten or attained by our own merit, what position we hold in church, the ways in which we serve, the goodness that we feel that we have in our lives, the good things that we teach to our kids. We try our best and therefore we must be good, surely. No! That is not what makes you good. That is not what saves you. That is not what following Jesus is, just doing. No, it's believing and knowing who he is. Repent if you must. No, actually, repent not if you must. Repent because you must. Ask God to check your heart. In my time in ministry, I have seen people and I have led people to actually place their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who had been to church for 20 years of their lives and thought they'd been following him, but they did not have a relationship with him. Is that you? Is God talking to you right now through this message, through his word, to say, I want your devotion. Not just to goodness and good things, but to me. I'm God. I've given to you this word. Now heed the caution that you see in these words. Repent and turn to me, and I will save you. I will forgive you by my grace. And for those of us who are Christians, the caution is this: don't get complacent in your Christian walk. Be devoted to Scripture so that you can stay on the path that God has given to you. Yes, through the power of the Holy Spirit in us and within us, but through the words that he has given to us in his Scripture, the Bible, he guides us and directs us to a life of obedience, not just outwardly, but in the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this: for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You see, the Bible has a real purpose in our lives. It's not just to go and be encouraged and to say, oh, okay, God has a plan for you. Those are true things, and God will hold to those things, but it is meant to do a real work in our hearts. Look, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Do those sound like comfortable pleasantries? No, it means that it's going to hurt at times when we realize the selfishness of our hearts. It's going to be painful at times to obey God because it's so much easier to go with the flow of the world. But God wants our thoughts, our intentions, our hearts. That's what he wants. He wants our full devotion. And so when I say devotion to scripture, again, it means devotion to God. Because when we're devoted to God truly in our hearts, then we have a reverence for the word that we would not understand or not have unless we truly know who he is. And in living our lives, we don't live according to our own standards of good. We don't live according to our own standards of what is righteous. We live according to God's scripture. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. But Jesus answered them, "You are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." You see how those things are linked together? You are wrong. Why? Because you don't know the scriptures. Nor the power of God. You don't realize who he actually is. So let's learn to live lives that are devoted to scripture, because that means ultimately devotion to God, who he is, what he has for us. Remember that all of this is in God's hands. All of scripture that needed to be fulfilled. Peter emphasizes scripture, reminds us that he, God, is always with us. Everything that was needed for us to know him, he has made happen. Everything about the Messiah, about Jesus coming to the world, has happened. And that's what Peter says here. Even the account of Judas Iscariot, somehow, in some way, God's sovereignty and in his plan, all of it taking part so that Jesus would go to the cross, die for our sins, that whoever believes would have eternal life. So let us be devoted to scripture. Let's be, as a church, devoted to reading daily and meditating on God's word. Not as a legalistic way, but because we just want to know more of who God is. Amen. Let's not dress up the outside and not take care of the inside. True devotion is more than outward. It's inward. Desire to know God more. Scripture is God's word, all of it in its entirety. It's quite easy to pick and choose and justify for our own thoughts, opinions, or agendas, but we must take the whole from Genesis to Revelation. Then we will be united as a church. Then we will have a firm foundation and devotion to the God who has given to us this scripture. And please, please take the caution of God's scripture. It really is the difference between eternal life or eternal separation from him. And my heart, my hope, obviously, as your pastor, is that every single one of you who is listening together today, and even those who are not, that you would know the sweet salvation that is available by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. Would you just challenge us? Even that first point, so simple, scripture is your word. How many of us are living in a way where when we read scripture, it doesn't really feel like that. We don't really have reverence for it. We're all guilty of that. But give us a heart that trusts and believes. Remind us of the authority that is in scripture. Help us to look at life through the scriptural lens. Help us not to be swept away by the world's thinking, the world's word about truth, the world's desire to take us away from you. And instead, let us be grounded, firmly devoted to your scripture, because indeed it is your word. And Lord, you caution us, but ultimately it is because of your grace as a father who loves his children to show us, remind us that there are real consequences to whether we know you and follow you with all of our hearts, or whether we don't. So I pray that every one of us would be a genuine follower of Jesus. And for those of us who are not, God, would you move in hearts so that they would repent, turn away from their sinfulness, turn away from their self-righteousness to think that they could earn salvation somehow by their own good works or merit, and that they would turn to you and receive the grace that you have freely given. Help us to be united together as a church. Help us to be devoted to scripture. In your name we pray. Amen.